it often begins where all of our efforts have been unsuccessful. Notice, if you will, that Peter was exhausted and disappointed because he had fished all night and he hadn't caught anything. And not only that, despite needing to be home in bed to try to get some rest to get up for the next day, he had stayed and helped Jesus in preaching the word by loaning him his boat. But now, despite his reluctance to Jesus' direction, he obeyed the Lord, and he said, "Nevertheless," in other words, "if you say so, at your word, we will let down the net again." Now, remember, God often begins when our efforts have been unsuccessful, when he gets ready to bless us. And that's why God requires that we obey his instructions, even if it contradicts our own experiences as well as our instincts. Because he wants us to understand that he knows more than we know. Because he is the omniscient one. In other words, he's the one who knows everything. He's the all-knowing one. And so God want to bless us to reveal to us that his knowledge is greater than ours. Secondly, God want to bless us just as he wants us to realize our sinfulness in light of his holiness. Now, in verse 6, we note that after Peter obeyed Jesus the nets and let down his nets, that the nets got so full of fish that the nets began to break. And then he called for some help, and those who came to help, it was so many fish that even when they put them on their boats, amen, began to sink. Are y'all here with me? According to verse 7. And my brothers and sisters, this is a great picture of what Malachi was saying to all the Christians who are obedient to bringing in their tithes and their offerings to the Lord. God said to them, and he says to us, rather, he says to us this morning, "Prove me, test me, and see what I open up the windows of heaven, and I'll pour you out a blessing that you won't even have room enough to receive." You'll be just like Peter. You'll be having to ask somebody to come over and help me out. I don't have enough room. Amen, to receive all of these blessings that the Lord has given. And so the text says that there were so many fish that the nets began to break. And when the others came over, amen, to help, their boats began to sink because, amen, there were so many fish. And so, and then in verse 8, it shows that Peter was so awestruck at this miracle that his first response was to realize his own insignificance in comparison to this man's greatness. Now, Peter knew that Jesus had healed the sick, and he knew that he had driven out demons, but he was amazed that Jesus cared about his day-to-day routine and understood his daily need. Because here we see that God is not only interested in saving our souls, but also in helping us in our daily activities. And so Peter, after witnessing that great miracle, realized something that day that often goes unnoticed in many lives today. And that is, Peter realized his sinfulness in the light of God's holiness. Because in verse 8 it says, Peter fell down on his knees and said to Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Here Peter confessed his sin of disobedience and unbelief. He confessed his sin of being reluctant to obey Jesus and to question the Lord's will and to question the Lord's knowledge and power. You know, he did say, "Lord, we've toiled all night and we caught nothing." In other words, Peter said, "Now, Lord, I'm a fisherman. I don't believe you're a fisherman. I know about this business. And we've been here all night long. And you talk about going out, pushing out in the deep, and then we're going to catch it." So Peter had to confess that. He realized that he had went against God, acting as if he knew more than God knows. Huh? And you know, a lot of times we get like that too. Amen. When we are walking not in faith and walking by sight, we think we know more than God. Yeah, Lord. That's why the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's why the just have to live by faith and not by sight. I know it might look sort of bad from your little perspective, but from God's perspective, he got everything under his control if you are obedient and trusting in him. Are y'all here with me? And so Peter confessed his sin, which is the first thing that any would-be follower have to do. You got to confess your sin. For the Bible says that if we confess our sins, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, he said, you will be saved. And if you're a Christian, he said, if you confess your sin, amen, believe that he's faithful and he's just to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are on the right road. Because God desires that we know and understand the vast difference between who he is, because he is righteous and holy, and who we are unrighteous and sinful, even at our very best. Lord, we have a filthy rag. Huh? The Bible didn't say y'all have sinned, it said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's why you don't have no room to be walking around looking down and looking at other folk. You need to look at yourself. Are you with me? Because we are all nothing but dust. We're nothing but date, and date ain't nothing but date. Are y'all here with me? And all date to do is get your daddy. Yeah. Oh, Lord. So, yes, Lord. But we need to understand, most of all as Christians, that a lot of times we think that God bless us because how good we are. You know, I'm a good person, and that's the reason God bless me. But on the contrary, God blesses us because he alone is good, huh? And we are sinful. Huh? It's only because of his grace. It's only because of his love. It's only because of his mercy that he blesses us. Well, what made Peter come to this realization in the text? Because, well, it was because of the fact that he was amazed at Jesus' miraculous power. How in the world can a man know that we'll be able to catch these many fish? And I've been out here fishing all my life. I'm a professional fisherman. I know where the fish are. That's why we fish at night. We fish in the shallow water and we catch fish. We haven't caught anything all night. Now, he done told us to go out in the deep in the daytime. How did he know all of those fish were out there? And now we got so many fish, we don't know what to do. We can't even pull them in the net.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio. At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Get your Bibles and stand on your feet for just a few minutes. I just want to tell you what I would have talked to you if I could have talked to you.
2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Recorded are these words: "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. A word from the Father, part two. When we look at what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, and I dealt this morning at our 7 a.m. service with verses 14 through 16 at some length, but time will not allow me to go and set up the whole thing as I did then. The tape is available for 7 a.m. service to put this together. But I want you to look at something, and here is the point as we begin at verses 17 and 18. First thing you're going to see is that the word says, "Wherefore, come out from among them." Now, since you know in essence who you are and whose you are, what God expects from you and of you, he says, "Now come from among them." Now, first thing he's talking about doing is cutting or severing relationships of unproductivity, of unfruitfulness, of unrighteousness, of those things and people that hinder you, hamper you, and keep you from walking in the things of God. Come ye, you, from among them. Now here's what you got to know. They might not leave you, but you're going to have to learn how to leave them. See, if they got it good and they got it going on and they're doing this and they're walking on you and they're this, that, and the other, you think they're going to leave you? That don't make no sense. But when you know who you are and whose you are, when you come to the understanding of what God requires of you and expects of you, you can't allow that they do to control and keep you in a place that dissatisfies God. So God is saying, the Father is saying, "Wherefore, come out from among them." So he's saying, cut off those things that hinder you. Cut off those things that hamper you. Cut off those things that keep you from walking, talking, living, and flowing in the things of God. It's your responsibility, because the dead don't know no better. I shared earlier with the saints, and it's important for you to understand who you are as a living, moving, breathing being in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a living temple of the Lord Jesus Christ, who walks in you, who dwells in you, who is all authoritative in you, who says that you are his people. You've got to understand, he's not accepting anything from anybody that does not align itself with his standards. He's elevating. Sometime before you go up, you got to cut off what's holding you back. Some of you will never be blessed like you will be blessed till you cut off some stuff that's holding you down, that's anchoring you down to where God does not want you to be. Now, I want to say something about this. Notice he says in verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, largely when we read this verse, we think about those unbelievers being sinners only. I said earlier, if that were the case, the word would have read like this: "Be ye not unequally yoked together with sinners." But it doesn't say that. It says with unbelievers. And the reason it says unbelievers is because there is a difference between those who are sinners and unbelievers. You can have a sinner who is an unbeliever at the same time, but you can have a believer who's been saved and an unbeliever who's been saved. The difference is where they stand on spiritual issues. See, you got a whole lot of folk who are saved, but who are still non-believers. Unbelievers, rather, I should say. Not non-believers, unbelievers. And the reason I know that you can be saved saved and walking with the Lord sometime and still miss it is because Matthew 17 reveals that some of his own disciples who previously had been anointed with the power to cast out demons, heal sick folk, etc., etc., when he went up to the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John, had a fellowship there with Elijah and Moses, and that was a man who brought his son who was a lunatic, and his disciples down there could not heal him. When Jesus and the boys came down, he brought him to Jesus and said, I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. Jesus talked to those who were present about being a perverse and a faithless generation. He turned around then, healed the boy, and then his disciples came to him in a private way, and more directly, when they asked why couldn't they heal the boy, Jesus said, because of your unbelief. And if you have unbelief, that makes you an unbeliever. Now listen to me well. Everybody who sits in church is not a believer. Everybody who serves on boards and committees are not believers. You got some folk, just because their name is on the roll and just because they attend church does not make them a believer. While God moves, you'll be surprised how many folks sit there in unbelief that God is doing anything in his presence of his people. But thank God he doesn't hold you for the person sitting next to you. Somebody ought to say thank God. I look at folk, they walk around for offering. I look at them when they see the move of God, and they're sitting there motionless, lifeless, without any spirit. And I say, God, have mercy on them. Because they are missing God because they are But you know what's amazing? How when their situations and circumstance dictate that God answers their prayer, it's amazing how they muster up strength to believe he can do some of the things he said then. I want you to see. So first thing is, he wants you to cut off those things that hinder you from being all that he wants you to be. Somebody say cut off. Now listen to this. He moves a little further because my time won't let me magnify the text like I want. Notice what it says. And conjunction, which is tying this together, which is a part of the process. Touch not the unclean thing. So now he's moving from cutting off to contamination. See, if you don't cut off yourself from that's contaminating you, or that you touch that's unclean, because notice up again in the text in verse 14, it says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? So you've got to understand, if you touch something contaminated, the contamination from the touch contaminates you. Ever notice when you go to the doctor, before the doctor touches you?
Yes, he does.
He puts on his glove and say, now what's the problem?
Yes, he does.
And before he tell you, stick out his tongue, before he touches you or any rest of that, he puts on, because he knows if he's going to help you, he can't be contaminated. And not only that, you've got to understand that contamination is contagious. Y'all don't want to hear me. It's transmittable. And so the best way to become contamination free is to don't touch what's contaminated. And he says, no unclean thing. In other words, the activity, the actions, the ambitions, the attitudes, all of those things connected with those who are unrighteous. Because here's what you need to know. Association brings on assimilation. And if you keep on hanging with unclean folk, guess what's going to happen to your thoughts? Guess what's going to happen to your walk? Guess what's going to happen to your touch? Guess what's going to happen to you? You become contaminated. So he talks about cutting off, because if we don't cut off, surely the unrighteous will contaminate the righteous. The unbelievers will filtrate the mind of the believer. That's why I keep telling you, stay away from negative folk. If they're not on their way to where you're going, stay away from them. If they don't believe the God you serve and that he's able, stay away from them. You don't have to communicate with folk who don't believe what you have to say. And when you hang with negative-minded folk, all you got to do is watch their walk, watch their talk, watch what they have, watch what God has done in their life, and you'll be able to tell whether they're a believer or an unbeliever. If you're a believer, your work speaks for you. But if you're a non-believer or an unbeliever, you will also decide and declare at the same time, God's not doing this or this is not that, because you don't believe he can do it. And listen at this. When you understand, again, your position is to cut yourself off, sever yourself from those persons who are not believers. Matthew records that if two agree, or three, if they touch. See that's why if you agree, you're going to have to come together. That's why you got to make sure you try to come together with somebody who's on the same side with you. Because if the word has said, don't touch unclean things, then we can't agree unless we agree. And the Bible said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How can we agree that God's going to answer a prayer? God's going to do a thing. God's going to make a way. God's going to heal a body. God's going to deliver a person. How are we going to agree unless we're in that place of faith together? Because when I say you're my prayer partner, you're believing every bit and as much of God's power as I'm believing. And we are touching as believing the same thing, because we know God is able to do what he said he'll do. And by faith, we are exercising and confessing the reality of the authority of our God. Ain't no room to doubt. He's been doing this before we got here. And he will continue long after we're gone. The word declares this. So even after the contamination, if we touch stuff that ain't right, that's not of the righteousness of God, we then recognize that we separate ourselves from God, because the text says, listen at this, and I will receive you. He's not going to receive you if you are fellowshipping and communicating and communing with unclean and unrighteous things and people. He's going to receive you because you are like him. Cut off, separated from the world and worldliness. Cut off, separated from those who don't believe his power, his personage, and all that he's able to provide. Cut off. See, listen, you become more like him. If you become more like him, you become less like them. And the believer is not a friend to the world. So you can always listen at this, and I want to throw this out for you to understand. If you believe and someone else does not, do not expect them to agree with you. If darkness and light have no fellowship together, if right and wrong have no communion together, how can you expect someone who doesn't know the God, serve the God, or is in relationship and fellowship with the God to feel the same way you feel? You're asking for something that's impossible. But listen at this. After God joins himself together with you, then there's celebration. Because verse 18 says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, my brothers and sisters, listen, there is a reward for cutting off folk who are not like your God. I know it might feel like you're going to lose something. I know it might feel like, you might not find anything or anybody else. I got news for you. When you cut off that is not like God, God's going to give you something that is like him. See, what you got to understand is the reason why you can't find your treasures, because you got too much trash in your life. You got to do is get the trash out the way, and you'll be saying, I can see clearly now, the trash is gone. If anybody frowning right about now, you know they got a problem. I can see all the obstacles in my way. Don't get all holy on me here. Lord, I wish I had time. But listen, as I close, the celebration is that God says, and will be a father unto you. He says, I'll receive you. I'm not going to make you a servant. I'm going to make you a son and a daughter. When you cut off all of the trash, when you separate yourself from that's not like him, when you come to the understanding that I don't want you to touch no unclean thing, because what I have for you is the best. then you can celebrate knowing that as a father loves his children, provides for his children, protects his children, gives peace to his children, you have fellowship with the one who made it all, and he knows you better than you know yourself, and he gives you the best that you can stand. Tell somebody he gives you the best you can handle. And when you learn how to handle that, he knocks it up some. And when you learn how to handle that, he knocks it up some. He gives you all you can handle, and the best just keep on coming when you celebrate who God is to you and who you are to God. Give God some praise in the house. My time is up.
My time is up.
The doors of the church are open today. The doors of the church are open. A word from the Father. Jesus is calling even now, saying, come to the Father. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But by me. This is your time. This is your opportunity. God loves you so much. He says you've got to do your part. Sever your connections from those who are not like God. Make a stand. Take a stand. Make a step toward God and say, God, I give you me. I give you me. I give you me. You must make the step. See, there are some things God's not going to do for you. You've got to do for yourself. And though it may be difficult to sever connections, listen, God is still working on all of us, every one of us. But when we learn to put him first, when we learn to say, Lord, I surrender, God bless you, God bless you. When we learn to say, Lord, I'm yours, then we allow him to work in our lives whatever way he wants to work, because the best is truly yet to come. When we fellowship with him, when we come to him, he does as only a father can and gives to us the best that we are able to handle right now. This is our last appeal. This is our last appeal. Our time is far spent. Is there another who hears and heeds the voice of God? This is your time. Oh, come. He's waiting on you, waiting on you. I know you're getting wearied and heavy laden, but he says, come. This is your time. This is your time. Come on. On you, he's waiting on you. Saints are praying for you right now. You, those over in the overflow, God is speaking to your heart. Come on, this is your time. While the Spirit is unctioning you, speaking to you, would you come? Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Sister Sharon, share with us who's come.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. You can receive today's message by sending $5 for cassette, $8 for CD, and $15 for DVD to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806, or call area code 225-774-8040, leaving your name, address, and order. Or you can purchase today's message at Stars Beauty Salon, 525 16th Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, on Tuesday and Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., Thursday and Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. May God richly bless you is our prayer.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Shabbat. To commend or to praise something or someone with a loud voice, with a loud exuberant voice. So therefore we come right now to Shabbat the Lord, our God. Train up a child in the way that he should go, so that when he's old, he won't depart from it. For out of the mouths of babes come perfected praise.
Come and Shabbat the Lord with us. Come on and put those hands together as we begin to just praise and magnify the Lord our God. For he is worthy of our praise.